Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank.
Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac is presented by Ted's Montana Grill.
It's Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Welcome to it. Beautiful, beautiful Monday afternoon here in our great city of Denver, Colorado. As we celebrate this wonderful win from the Denver Broncos yesterday. And with that, Chad, I think I'm gonna start off these game balls. And I am going to give my first game ball on the offensive side to Case Keenum. I'm giving it to Case Keenum, even with the three interceptions, because it felt like we had a chance to score on every drive because of his play at the quarterback position. Wasn't clean all the time, but it was what we needed. And we answered all of those scores from Seattle with our own scores. So I'm giving my game ball to Case Keenum.
I'm going to pick somebody different, but to your point about Case Keenum, I think the mark of a good player is when you make a mistake and you find a way to move on to the next play.
Right.
And the three interceptions, certainly not good, clean football. But the mark of a good player, an experienced player,
he didn't go in the shell.
Is to not go in the shell, but also recognize what mistakes you made. I mean, if you're, say, Paxton Lynch and you go to the sideline, you got to ask a coach, what happened? You know what I mean? Case Keenum knew exactly what he did wrong. So the confidence to come back from the interceptions, keep your wits about you, keep your game about you, move on to the next play. I was impressed by that. I wasn't impressed by the three interceptions, but I was impressed by his mental ability to bounce back.
Mm.
For me on the offensive side, going with the game ball, I got to go see you bust. I got to go Philip Lindsay, baby.
Philip Lindsay, second big day.
Lindsay going out as a receiver, and here he is. Lindsay down the sideline, gets inside the 10 and scores. There's a rookie, Philip Lindsay, coming right back for the Broncos.
That felt good. Would you say he had a better day than Emmanuel Sanders even?
Oh, man.
Opening day undrafted, 100-plus yards.
Yeah, I will say it was a better day because it was a more well-rounded day. He ran the ball hard and effectively.
71 yards.
In between the tackles.
Yes.
In between the tackles. And he was in the game during the four-minute drill, protecting that football, pounding a little bit. His ability to catch the ball out of the backfield gives the Broncos a weapon they haven't had here in a few years. He's doing the things I would had hoped they would try to do with Jamal Charles. Philip Lindsay actually goes out and gets it done. Then he plays special teams. He makes tackles. He returns kicks. So, you know, if I'm back in here on a Monday again, I may be talking about this kid again because he's going to continue to have effects on the Broncos' success.
Well, I think we're probably going to be unanimous with defensive player of the game. It's none other than Von Miller, who had a monster game to start off this season. I thought nobody would leave him one-on-one, but you know what? Von Miller just, you know, not only sacks the quarterback, he takes the ball from running backs as well.
Second down and 3, and here is Carson with the first down and loses the ball. Carson fumbles, and the Broncos get it. Von Miller, ladies and gentlemen.
That was the most amazing defensive play I've seen in a long time. He actually took the ball away from the running back while he was running with the football. I've never seen that before in my life, Chad. I mean, as much defense as I've seen in my life, I've never actually seen a big power back with the ball just ripped out of his arm from a defender and took off running the other way.
I mean, you've seen guys punch it out.
Yeah, we've seen that.
You've seen guys struggle and kind of pull it out.
Yes.
But just to take it so quick. I mean, we know Von is quick.
I didn't know what was going on.
He's so quick around the edge, but he's equally as quick with that movement to snatch the football. I was impressed. So I can't argue with you. But I want to talk about Justin Simmons and that interception.
Nice. Third down interception.
Third down interception. The ability to elevate, go up, and get that interception. I know he had the poor angle on the Tyler Lockett touchdown. That was a really poor angle by him. But he made up for it with that great interception ability to go up and get that football.
And the pass will be intercepted by Davis, the free safety. Big interception by Simmons, picking off Wilson.
Tell you what, man, he showed incredible range. He showed incredible range on that play. And I've just looked around and like, well, you know what? The guy said he wants to be a Pro Bowl player this year. That's a great start. That's how you start to get mentioning in the same breath as guys like Earl Thomas. Take the football away. And for my special team player of the week, it's going to be Brandon McManus, man. 3 for 3 on extra points and 2 field goals. 2 field goals over 50 yards. Man, this guy is a real weapon, Chad. I am feeling more comfortable about our kicking game. I feel more comfortable about our special teams in general. He had a slow start last year. Looks like everything is back to normal. We have a grown-up in the room at the special teams coach. So now we can move on and have good things to say about our punter, our kicker, our returners, and also our coverage teams. I like McManus. I love the strong start. Who do you have as your special team player of the week?
Well, you know, I got to go with McManus as well. You know, part of me wants to lean to say Philip Lindsay. He did not get any kickoff returns. They were all over his head or into the end zone. He did have the tackle as a gunner on punt. Marquette King was outkicked by the punter from
the
Seattle.
Fifth rounder, yeah.
He was outkicked by that. So I'm just going to go with our kicker as well. The weapon that you present your offense, things get bogged down. The confidence, we can put this guy on the field and walk away with 3 points. As a coach, it gives you such comfort.
No doubt about it. 50 yards is nothing to this guy. He's a genius, man. He is a genius, and he gets the wind speed down. He gets the height down. He's a real weapon, man. I'm glad McManus is back to being that guy for us. And when we come back on the other side, man, we got to grade these coaches and find out how you really feel about the job that they did.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Allen Team.
A bunch in the process, and Dixon will come in to kick. Loss of 13 yards here.
Let's get to it, Chad. I'm going to ask you about this coaching staff and the job that they've done. And certainly, this felt like a brand new Vance Joseph to start off with. And one of the things D-Mac questioned on Friday, as my partner is out today, Chad Brown sitting in, was, who's calling the offensive plays? Well, there was no doubt about it. Who was calling the offensive plays? Bill Musgrave was on the sideline calling plays. Gary Kubiak was up in the box with John Elway and Matt Russell. So there was no doubt about who was calling offensive plays yesterday. It was all Bill Musgrave. But we'll start with the head coach. What grade did you give Vance Joseph?
I'll give him a B. Certainly not a perfect coach game, nor was it a average coach game. I'm going to go with a B. Lots to be happy with. A few things you want to fix. Some things you need to correct. But I think it was a more than solid effort by Vance Joseph.
Yeah, I'm giving Vance Joseph a B plus because of this. Okay, the average number of penalties in the NFL is 7 per game, and we had 7 yesterday. But when you start the season off, usually there are some things that happen unusually for your team, like dehydration. We didn't have to see that, okay? For him to know how to get his team ready to play a football game and for us to go out there and have all of our players conditioned and ready to go, I'm going to give him a plus for that. But as far as the game was coached on both the offense and defensive side of the ball, I think that He oversaw a good game plan from both sides, and of course our special teams were solid. So I'm giving the head coach a B+. I am giving Joe Woods a B+ as well, because of so many different things that we saw yesterday. And one of them is something that I used to get upset with Wade Phillips about. And the thing is, when you play defense, you just can't line up with your four guys and just say, that's how we get into the quarterback. Every now and then, you got to send some guys like Chris Harris Jr.
Russell Wilson on third down in trouble. And down he goes. And it's going to be Chris Harris Jr. who tripped him up. It'll go as a sack in the sixth of the game for Denver.
And when you are operating and you are sending, you know, one of the NFL's best cover corners on slot blitzes, dude, you just changed the game. I mean, we had an identity here that said that we were going to line up and play man-to-man and bring our fifth guy as a known rusher. Maybe it was a linebacker who would line up in the gap and rush, and we would play coverage outside. But now that you're starting to bring guys from the slot and from the cornerback position, and we saw Darian Stewart get into the game and get the first sack of the game of the 2018 season, along with Bradley Chubb, that was on the safety blitz. I thought that was an excellent job from him. Because we gave up points, I'm not giving him an A, but the game plan overall, I'm giving him a B+.
I thought the game plan was fantastic, so I will share that B+ grade that you gave him. That opening play, the opening blitz that you're talking
yes.
about with Stewart and Chubb, to come out of the box with that and be aggressive early with that sets the tone for the rest of the game. The creativeness, one time you're bringing D. Stewart. Later on in the game, you bring Chris Harris Jr. off the edge with the corner blitz. The pressure packages, the way that you taught your pass rushers, this is a guy who steps up quickly. We saw on a Von sack, he sensed Russell Wilson stepping up quickly, got those guys coached up on that. But also, if he's in the back of the pocket and he can't step up, he's going to spin backwards.
Right.
The edge guys were coached up on that as well. They were expecting Russell Wilson to do that. So an overall good coaching job from that front seven, getting those guys lined up. Tackling was an issue. I wouldn't say
it was
game plan.
But that's not on coaching. No, that's not on players.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to say the scores were angles and tackling. They weren't guys being out of place or the game plan not suited for what the opponent was doing. So I think a lot of teams struggle with that early in the season because you didn't do a lot of tackling in the preseason. You didn't do a lot of tackling in practice. This is a thing that teams go through or trying to keep guys healthy. It will get better. The tackling will get better. The angles to the football will get better. I'd imagine Justin Simmons won't take as poor of an angle again as we saw for him on that Tyler Lockett touchdown.
Oh, that was a great double move from Tyler Lockett. You know, and you have man underneath coverage. Chris Harris is in trail position. Anything over the top, you just got to just deal with. And, man, the guy put a move on you, man. I mean, he left him standing cold, man. I mean, it was a great move. You know, they get paid, too. But
hey, they're on scholarship, too.
Yeah, they're on scholarship, too. And let's get over to the head, the play caller for the offensive side, and that's Bill Musgrave. I am giving Bill Musgrave an A for his game plan. I'm giving him an A for the game plan. Because what happened here was something that we didn't hardly see last year. We saw five receivers with receptions over 20 yards for the Denver Broncos. That's saying a lot. Now, have we seen DT and Emmanuel Sanders have days like that? Of course we have. But when you consider that Emmanuel Sanders had a 43-yard pass, Demaryius Thomas a 23, Cortland Sutton a 25, Philip Lindsay a 29, and Jake Butt a 22, man, look, those are chunk plays. We don't remember chunk plays from last year. And to know who your quarterback is, to know who your opponent is, and then you go out there and put 146 yards rushing along with your quarterback going out there throwing for over 320, that's a good day offensively. Offensively, when you are pushing the ball down the field with the quarterback and your runners are having a great day on the ground, that's a great day coordinating.
Oh, no doubt about it. When you can be balanced offensively, 39 pass plays, 32 rushes, that balance doesn't give the defense the tip. They don't know what to expect. They're always, you know, what personnel do we have on the field? If I'm a linebacker, am I thinking about getting back in coverage or am I thinking about coming ahead to play the run? So that balance, and then you talked about it for me, the explosive plays. Explosive plays just don't happen.
Right.
They need to be coordinated. They need to be called. You need to be an aggressive play caller to make those explosive plays happen. That's a fantastic job. And let's not forget, even Hyerman showed up. Jake Hyerman, Jeff Hyerman, a 15-yard reception. Not a 20, but getting 15, close.
Yeah.
So the explosive plays from the receiver core, running backs out of the backfield, the balance between the run and pass. You gave him an A or an A minus?
I gave him an A.
Okay, I'm going to go with an A minus because I think there's room for him to improve as the season goes along. But to come out the box with an A minus, balance, run, pass, getting the ball to so many different guys, creating explosive plays down the field, fantastic job by Bill Musgrave.
And I am giving our special team coordinator, Tom McMahon, I'm giving him a solid, solid B because everything was good. Everything that we did yesterday was good. We had one holding penalty on Adam Jones' return, but as far as our coverage teams go, we looked outstanding. We looked fresh. We knew where we were supposed to be, and we were there. And our kicking game, both the punting and the field goal, was very solid. I mean, if you just go the whole year with a B here, then that means our special teams were great, okay? Because an A usually means that you had a return for a touchdown, a block kick, or something like that. But a solid B for our special teams coordinator.
Yeah, the only dark cloud on a sunny special teams day would be the 30-yard kickoff return by Lockett. But outside of that, the coverage teams were great. I talked about Phillip Lindsay getting down there as a gunner. The kicking game was strong. It is interesting that Marquette King, with the reputation of having such a booming leg, has been outkicked a few times here yesterday and then also in the preseason. But he wasn't bad, a 44.5 average. He's not terrible. Just these other guys are having good days against him. But I think a B fits for Tom McMahon and what he brought as a special teams coordinator.
Okay, man. I mean, this is shaping up to be just what I thought. You know, for all of those people who said the Broncos wouldn't get to 10 wins, and I know we only have one, but it's a big one against a very quality opponent. Man, I'm telling you, we're on our way. we got to talk about this. We got to talk about this pick'em. It wasn't great for me, but maybe somebody is going to win $250. We'll talk about it next on The Fan.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Alan D-Mac.
Well, Chad, the pick'em wasn't sweet with me. I got to tell you, it just didn't work out the way that I saw it happening. Who saw a tie between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Nobody.
I mean, who saw that one coming?
Nobody.
Or how about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers scoring 48 points against the New Orleans Saints? Who saw that one happening?
Nobody.
Oh, my goodness, man. And, of course, the Thursday night opener. I thought Atlanta had it all together, and they did not have it all together. But we do have two more games tonight, man. We have the Jets at the Lions, and that starts in right around 45 minutes on our sister station, ESPN. Yeah, Denver 1600. And that's going to be a good one. That's going to be a really good one because my fantasy guys are going. Other than that, the Lions should just crush them. Sam Darnold making his first start tonight. That is not going to lead to a good day for the Jets and Sam Darnold. Matthew Stafford is no joke. I think that they have a great team. And by the way, we have a coaching debut tonight by Matt Patricia. So here we go with trying to turn it around and making sure those Lions can be in a playoff position. And then after that, a game I think we're all interested in because our next opponent is at play. And that's the Rams at the Raiders. And the king of swag himself, Wade Phillips, has a defense that's loaded and everybody's there. Everybody's healthy. How do you see this game going, Chad?
Man, I think the Rams beat the brakes out of the Raiders. The Raiders are...
Whoa!
They are in turmoil. I know the Rams...
The Raiders are at home!
But they're in turmoil. That locker room's a bit lost. I think John Gruden's still trying to find his way with that group after the trade of Khalil Mack. You got rid of Martavius Bryant. You cut him. I just don't know what's happening there. The Rams could have that super team letdown that we've seen a few years ago with the Eagles, but chances are, with Sean McVay being a great coach, Wade Phillips on the defensive side, amazing players on both sides of the ball, I have a hard time seeing Oakland being able to really stay on the field against that group and where they are.
So much good football. And, of course, you can go online right now to our King Supers fan football pick'em and get in the game. It's not too late for you. You got a grand prize of groceries for a year from King Supers. Or you can win a weekly prize of $250 from King Supers every single week. And once again, right now I'm kind of in last place.
It's a shame they don't let producers participate anymore. Because you see who's on top of that VIP leaderboard?
Oh, now, Big Sexy.
I'm the only one with 10 correct picks in the last couple days.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I mean, there
I
is somebody.
I got 10 out of 13.
We have Stetson out there who has 12.
I'm talking about the VIP leaders. I mean, just the
how
fan,
many 12s do we
staff.
Have? Oh, my goodness. I feel like I just played the Seahawks, all these 12s. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. There are 22 perfect games picked.
12 out of 13.
12 out of 13. That's right. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We had a tie. So 23 people with 12? Oh, my goodness. Then we go to the tiebreaker. I'm thinking about doing something a little crazy here, and because I'm in last place right now.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I got to chase.
Don't do it.
I got to chase,
it's
man.
Way too early to start trying to just pick your way back in.
I'm at 46% right now,
no,
man.
No, you let everybody else make mistakes. You just keep picking you, man. Don't get crazy in week two. It's only week two.
Week one, officially. All righty. I'm 9,910 out of 11,575.
So you're not last.
I'm not last, but amongst the crew here, man, I'm last. But hey, look at this, man.
My rank is 187, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Big Sexy. But the Rams and the Raiders, the Raiders could pull it off. They're at home. I'm thinking about making that pick, Chad. Oh. I mean, it's such a bad pick.
Yes, you already know it's
such
a bad pick,
man, but I feel like
you do not need to roll the dice at this point.
They're going to try to shame me tomorrow if I do not get this right.
Oh, man, don't
I cannot,
do it.
I don't have any, in no good conscience, could I pick the Jets to beat the Lions at
really?
Home. No,
really?
No, the Jets at the Lions.
Sam Darnold? Yeah.
Against Matthew Stafford? Let's start with the quarterbacks.
Sam Darnold.
I may have to do it, man. I may have to do it. But once again, go to 104.3. You just go to Pro Football Fan Pick'em. I mean, just 104.3thefan.com. Man.
Don't do it.
I know.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I know we got this initial contest, though, where, you know, the winner from, you know, the guys out there rolling on the picks get to shame game me. But I cannot do it.
Man. I mean, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun, but at some point, you're going to have the gun too. You know what I mean? They're going to have off weeks too. It's too early to start, you know, trying to make up games and pick the upsets. Nah, you just got to pick winners, man.
That was almost a huge upset last night between the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers, man.
They ran out of steam.
All they needed was a field goal, Chad. All they needed was a field goal. All of that work and all that should have been focused for was just one field goal, not a touchdown, just field goals. And they couldn't get it done.
They ran out of steam.
And you know what? I'm telling you right now, it's early, but I'm here to tell you, Mitchell Trubisky is not the truth. He is not the truth. He's not an NFL quarterback yet.
Oh.
He was afraid to throw the football, didn't understand what was going on. He's not the guy right now for the Chicago Bears. Now, this is going to play out over some time, and certainly we've seen quarterbacks who have had better second years than they had first. Jared Goff, the guy we see in the night, was one of those guys. And he looked so much different last year. And for Trubisky to come out and not look different than he did as a rookie, that's scary.
Yeah.
He should have had some growth. Matt Nagy is a great offensive play caller. Guys were running wide open, but he did not want to test the Green Bay Packers defense, and they were stagnant on offense. So Aaron Rodgers brought them back. I don't know about Mitch Trubisky and that number two overall pick. It does not feel good.
He was afraid to step in the throws.
No, I'm telling you.
That was bothering me.
Something was wrong. Something was wrong with him. And I don't know if it's just yesterday, but everything about that kind of play says that he was scared of the moment. So since he's scared of the moment now, he's probably going to be scared of the moment the rest of the year. You should have been over those lapses of confidence last year. But when we come back on the other side, man, we got to talk to one of my guys, man. We got to talk to Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Bronco insider. And I'm telling you, he may have an answer for a question that, well, maybe a lot of Bronco fans are looking for. We'll ask him next on The Drive.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Alan Dmac.
D-Mac South Chad Brown's in it. Troy Rank from Denver 7 is our Bronco insider, and he's brought to you by Tranny Law. Have you or someone you know been arrested for DUI? Contact them at Tranny Law offices at 303-333-1816. Hey, Troy, I got to ask you, man. The conversation has been great around here about what's going on at the running back position, in particular with Philip Lindsay and Rolls-Royce Freeman. Both of them yesterday played in the 30s. Royce Freeman played 29 plays. That's 39% of the offensive plays. Philip Lindsay played 26 plays. That's 35% of the offense. And Devontae Booker played 19 plays, 26% of the offense. But as well as those two rookies played, well, we start to see Devontae Booker's role decrease with those rookies playing as well as they did?
Well, I think production will tell the story. They told us all along that Booker was going to be right there, and we kind of all rolled our eyes because of what we were seeing on the practice field and the preseason games. I was surprised at how many carries Lindsay got. I mean, that you guys know, you both lead. That says a lot about how much they trust Philip Lindsay. Quarter in a close game, and that told me that says everything. Even no matter what the coach is telling you, you guys know as players. Players know players. You don't give a ball to the game on the line. So Lindsay's the number of carries he got surprised me because they were talking in terms of 8 to 10 plays total. But could that change week to week? There's going to be some variance depending on matchups, but it's very clear that they're prepared to lean on those two guys.
Isaiah McKenzie and River Craycraft released today. How are the Broncos going to fill that open roster spots?
Well, on the practice squad, Carlos Henderson is ready because he served a one-game suspension for the off-field incident last year. So the practice squad spot would be obvious to add Henderson and give him a chance to kind of catch up. Because remember, he missed all of training camp. The active roster spot, as of last week, the plan was to go back and get Shamarco Thomas, the safety, more for special teams. You know, could that change? Yes. But they were looking at a special teams type player as of late last week to add. I mean, McKenzie was just insurance, essentially, for Adam Jones. If something happened last week in practice, you know, he's still working himself back into shape. And he had a hell of a game, frankly, on Sunday. But I would expect, Chad, that Carlos Henderson gets added to the practice squad and someone of the ilk, like a Shamarco Thomas special teams guy for that 53rd spot.
Yeah, we talked about Adam Jones and what we thought his role would be. Hey, he played 38 plays yesterday of defensive snaps. That is 67% of the defensive plays. No one saw that happening yesterday with Adam Jones because let's be quite honest. I mean, Tremaine Brock has been here since last year, and he only got two defensive plays. I don't know what's going on there.
Well, again, they keep saying he's doing fine, but when you watch the games, you kind of wonder, like, he's done okay, but they were talking about him with such conviction. When they got Adam Jones, I thought, man, if Jones is healthy, he's not going to be just a dime back. He's going to be a nickel guy because he makes plays. He brings an edge. The issue was he in shape? Playing at altitude, he's been at, 7 days of practice, roughly? how much I think he would have played more, frankly, if he, you know, and I think his role will only expand as he gets into playing shape. I mean, the guy's a freak athlete. You've talked about it, Alfred. The guy is a freak athlete. I mean, if you take the off-field thing out of it, when you just put him on the field, they're better with him right now because he's a playmaker. And Frank, if healthy, he's overqualified as a nickelback.
I think Philip Lindsay stole the rookie spotlight yesterday. But let's talk about the fifth pick in the draft, Bradley Chubb. He got a sack on that that first play, at least a half a sack, sharing that with Darren Stewart. But there's also a couple of plays I think he looked a bit like a rookie out there when Will Disley gave him the, hey, I'm blocking you, know I'm going out for a pass pretty early in the ball
right.
game. What was your take on Bradley Chubb's first game, Troy?
Well, he's explosive and he's versatile. I mean, to get to the quarterback on your first NFL series, that's impressive. You're right. He got exposed, but I asked him about guard and tight ends, and he said, hey, it's a heck of a lot harder in the NFL than it was in college. And he's right. But the one thing I would say about that is, yeah, especially on the big play to Disley, there were some missed tackles, but he got beat in coverage. But they're using Chubb in a way that they used Vaughn last year. So in a weird way, the Chubb's versatility is freeing them up to keep Vaughn on the weak side so Vaughn doesn't have to be so involved with the stopping the run. Remember, Vaughn ended up in coverage a whole bunch last year, and you're wondering, like, why? Why would that happen? So now with Bradley, and now, again, you can't do it often, but he at least shows you that he could do it and he's open to doing it. I just wouldn't keep him there much because I think people forget, Chad, he's 270 pounds. He's not a guy you want in coverage. If you drop him back in zone coverage, okay. But I don't want him in space against people. That's not fair to him.
Well, yesterday we came out the game fairly healthy, and that says a lot about our conditioning and how we approach the game. And the excitement around here is because, hey, we have a quarterback who can throw the football, and you know what? We have a healthy group of receivers. This is boding well early in the year, Troy.
Well, here's what you got to like if you're a Bronco fan and you have the glass half full. They had 470 yards of total offense, Al. That's the most in a game since Peyton Manning retired. They also won a game when their quarterback threw three picks since Peyton Manning did it at Cleveland that day when they beat the Browns in overtime. So what I'm saying is they showed an offense that we haven't seen around here in essentially 3 years, and they showed the ability to overcome mistakes, which they haven't done. And the final part of this, they trusted Keaton with the game in the fourth quarter, even after three picks. That says a lot, and it says a lot about Keenan's confidence. He didn't fold. He just stepped in, especially on that pass to Jake Butt that set up the Demaryius Thomas touchdown. After three picks, he stood in there, a rush right into his face, got absolutely clobbered, and he made the throw. So that's, if you're a Bronco fan, that's encouraging. Now, he can't turn it over three times a week, but that's encouraging that even after an uneven game, when they needed him most, he made a couple of his best plays.
Troy, do you have maybe an unsung guy from yesterday's game? I mean, we talked about the receivers, we talked about the quarterback, talked about Philip Lindsay, Chubb. Is there somebody else who hasn't been getting enough credit for what happened yesterday?
Well, because you guys have talked about the stars, I'll go way off the radar. Jared Belder at right tackle is that position. I mean, it's early, I get it, but we don't talk about him, and that's a good thing. That means we don't notice him. And Joe Jones on special teams, I got a lot of people asking me why Zaire Anderson didn't make the team. It's because Joe Jones on special teams is really good. And remember last year when they were terrible, the dumpster fire on special teams? They didn't have any athletes. Joe Jones is a guy who's a little older and athletic, so I'd say off the complete beaten path, Jared Valdir and Joe Jones had nice games yesterday.
Yeah, the entire offensive line I thought played well. And I saw Jones making splash plays on special teams. But, Troy, this coaching staff, I think they get an A as an entire staff because they look like they were prepared everywhere yesterday.
Well, and Bill Kolar and that defensive line, the way they work in conjunction with the game plan with Joe Woods to get Von Miller freed up, to create space, to, you know, they stayed in their lane. I talked to Coach today, but a real disciplined game plan, and you guys have lived this, but when you play Russell Wilson, it's almost like you're covering a kick. Get up the field as a defensive lineman, you got to stay in your lane. Otherwise, he goes out, and it forced him to try to reverse field, and who's waiting for him? You know, Von Miller. And so I give a lot of credit to the game plan that they put in. And they were making adjustments on the fly, which we didn't see last year. Vance Joseph against one game, but his ability to keep even keel and make decisions in the moment was dramatically improved yesterday for me.
All right. I know it's a Broncos reaction Monday, but catch us up on the Rockies. Drop 2 or 3 to the Dodgers over the weekend.
Well, even that hurt. And the Anderson, those swing games, those rubber games in series mean everything. And Anderson just, at some point, they're going to have to make a hard decision if they can keep him in the rotation, because he's given up, I think, 29 home runs now, third most in the league. His changeup has absolutely betrayed him. But they're still in a good spot. The Diamondbacks come into town, and the Diamondbacks bullpen has been an absolute mess. So, but you got to get hot here, and they need Nolan to get hot. He had a homer yesterday, but if they're going to get through this stretch with these next two series, they still have two more series against Diamondbacks and Dodgers. They've got to get hot at home. They got to take some pressure off the pitching, and it starts with Nolan. I think he is ready to take off.
Well, this is it, man. This is it. It feels like football dominated everything last weekend, but we're back to reality, man. We got to get these Rockies rolling, and here we go, man. The series starts tonight. 6:40 is the first pitch. Marquez is on the bump against Godley, and
well, I'll tell you what, Marquez, no one's pitching better than the rotation. Even as good as Freeland has been, Marquez has been an absolute witch. He's throwing out 10, 11 Ks every time he pitches. And so if he throws one of those out tonight, you win, and you get a Diamondbacks team where you can step on their throat, because they are gasping for air right now. Their bullpen's a mess. This is a statement game. Go out, Marquez dominates, and now you feel like, okay, we can win this series easily. And if they do that, then you basically eliminate the
right
Diamondbacks, Al, and then the focus goes right to the Dodgers.
I know, and then at least we're still talking about a wild card, if not winning the division outright. So that does take care of Arizona in the divisional race, but also in the playoffs and the wild card too, Troy. Man, I appreciate you rolling with us, and man, we'll see you out there at practice tomorrow.
Yeah, go Buffs.
Go Buffs, baby.
Go Buffs. Thanks, Troy. Absolutely.
That's
go Buffs.
Troy Rake, man. Brought to you by Tranny Law Offices. You can call them right now at 303-333-1816. And if you know someone who's been arrested for DUI, call them. And we come back. We have exclamation mark with Mark Slayer. Takeaway from the Broncos' victory yesterday? He's got something for you.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Schomp BMW.
Biggest takeaway for me, the thing that was most important for me from the Broncos game, and there were so many things to look at, like third downs by the defense. They only allowed 2 conversions in 12 attempts, 17%. Man, you're going to win a lot of football games when that's the third down conversion rate. That was huge. I love the way they defended the run. 4 yards per carry. They want to clean that up a little bit, but only 16 attempts for 64 yards. And I thought, especially at the end of the game, man, they dominated the line of scrimmage. That was exciting. The pressure they put on Russell Wilson and the way they constricted the pocket and the way they didn't let him escape and scramble around, that was huge. All those things. Yeah, the interceptions are troubling. I get it. The turnovers are troubling. I understand that. But here's what I love. The way this team responded to adversity. Every time there was something that happened to this football team, whether it was a big play to lock it over the top, or whether it was an interception that Earl Thomas, after only being in camp for a few days, gets on you, they come back, put a drive together, put a stop together. They responded to adversity. And what that does to you as a football team in the terms of confidence, I can't tell you how important that is. You're sitting there saying to yourself, doesn't matter what happens to us. When we have adversity, we respond, because that's who we are. Man, I'm excited about the season. Can't wait to see them continue to get their cleats on the ground.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.